Praise the Lord. Well, let me first just remind you what John 10:10 says. John 10 says that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? That's how you know it's the devil. Is there any stealing? Is there any killing? Is there any destroying? Well, that's the devil. It's not God. It's not God. If there's any stealing in it, any killing in it, any destruction of any measure, it's not God. Then Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's just the way I think. I think if Jesus came for me to have something, I'm going to have it. If Jesus paid for something, back to the name of Jesus, if he paid for something, then I'm going to have it. Right? It would be a waste of something that Jesus did if I didn't experience what he purchased for me. So this is a favorite verse of mine. This is what I'm living. It says they may have it more abundantly. And the Greek language, if you look at it, it would talk about mega abundant. So there is a great quality of life that is to be lived through what Jesus has accomplished and paid for. And certainly this verse and many others answer the question of what's the will of God? What does God want for me? Well, if Jesus came that you might have super, mega, abundant life, then that's what he wants for you. He wants a quality of life. Sometimes people say, well, that's spiritually, in the sweet by and by, in heaven one day. Oh, there's way too many scriptures that talk about blessing in this time, in this life. Let's just take, for instance, healing. When you get to heaven, you're not going to need it. It's for this life. Amen. When you get to heaven, you'll have no use of money. It's in this life where the abundant blessing of God financially to pay for things and help others, that's for this life. Right? When he talks about abundant life, it's for now and the future. So, I just say that verse to lead us to the one we've been working on for three messages. This will be the fourth, 3 John 2. 3 John 2, and I think we spent the first 2 weeks just covering, hey, this is the will of God for you. And where one person was saying it to another, it's written for us, and it's written to express the will of God. So 3 John 2, beloved, I pray or I wish, just depending on the version, that above all things, that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So in New King James, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So what is prosper? To grow, that's a good definition. Anybody want to add others? What is it to prosper? Have more than before?
Yes.
To increase? The quality's getting better? The quantity's getting higher? That's a pretty simple word to understand, right? Prosper. God is a God of prosperity. Now, everybody thinks you're always talking about money. Well, money is certainly included. This life requires money. It requires a medium of exchange, right? So it's prosperity, and it's said in all things. You can prosper many different ways. You could be a student in school or perhaps in college, and gaining in knowledge and getting good grades is prospering. Amen. Promotion at work is prospering. Business growing is prospering. Money's just part of it. So he said in 3 John 2 that you prosper in all things and be in health even as your soul prospers. So again here, last week we started on this, and I'm going to work on this again today. We see that this is what God wants for us, to prosper in all things, that would include our finances, and to be in health. And I'll note while we're here that being in health is something more than being healed. Because so many times, you know, we may have a particular issue or something going on, and to get healed of that thing is a measure of health. But full health is, even in our old age, that we're capable and strong and not in need of great amounts of assistance and all that kind of thing. I intend to be strong, of sound mind, and able right until the day when I say, okay, going home. Amen. Amen. That's what it is to be in health. Just mention while we're here, if you'll accept something less than that and tolerate something less than that, that's what you'll have. It's okay to get tired of any issue in your body of any kind, I don't care how old you are, and not be okay with not having full health. Be in health is what Scripture says. Sometimes with the Bible, well, all the time, you need to get literal with it. Get literal with it. If he says in health, in health. If he says with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, I get literal about that verse. This is one I'm standing on, and Pastor Sandy too. With long life satisfied. And I have said to the Lord and reminded, and I tell the devil all the time, long life without full capacity of using my body is not satisfying to me. I'll not be satisfied with that in me or in her.
Right.
I won't be satisfied with difficulty of speech. I won't be satisfied with any kind of paralysis. I won't be satisfied without her being able to walk just the way she used to walk, maybe even better. And I'm just going to stand back and watch her walk and say, look. Oh, maybe, yeah. Praise the Lord. So I'm literal on that. Jesus said satisfied. The word says with long life will I satisfy him. By the way, hint, that's Psalm 91, verse 16. Look a couple, three verses ahead of that, and you will see, first, a speaker is writing about God. Then you see the it changes, and it is God himself speaking in the last verses. That's why it says, I will set with long life, will I, God speaking, satisfy him. Because the writer before was talking about God will, God will, God will. Then God speaks, he says, I will. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God speaking. A few verses ahead of that, he says, because he has set his love upon me.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a conditional verse right there. Mm-hmm. And it is for those who have set their love upon God.
Amen.
Have you set your love upon God? Well, how do you know? I think like I really love him. You'll know when you devote your life to, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to do what he says. And I was able to, in reading those verses, say, Lord, I adjusted in 1984 my whole life, and I haven't looked back. And everything about Sandy and I is about following you. We have set our love upon you. We've made sacrifices in our lives. We are serving your kingdom. We're serving your people. We're doing whatever it takes. We have set our love upon you. For that reason, I qualify for the 16th verse. I qualify. Make sure you qualify. Amen? And you can get literal. So, we were there on 3 John 2. Again, prosper in all things, be in health. And then it says, just as your soul prospers. Most of the promises of God are conditional. There's one unconditional promise. He loves you, no matter what kind of booger you are. He loves you. But the blessings, the promises, the things covenants working for you are conditional. All through the Scriptures, even to be born again, you must receive the Lord. It's a conditional promise. Is everybody going to be saved? No. It's a conditional promise. So all of these blessings of God, they're conditional. You need to be clear to understand that. So here, it talks about prospering and being in health in proportion to, in relation to, according to the condition of your soul prospering. So your soul prospers to a level, your health prospers with that level, your prosperity increases with that level. What is holding you and I back? The level of our soul. What can I do to increase my financial situation, my prosperity? Increase my soul. What can I do to increase the health in my body? Increase my soul. For that reason, you and I should be very interested in how do you prosper your soul. I got to find out about that. I got to make sure I do that. Because if I will grow or prosper in my soul, I can start to have more of, remember John 10:10, that abundant life that he came for me to have. How do I get it? Well, it includes health and prosperity. How do I get it? And by the way, those are not selfish things. If you're not healthy, people have to help you. If you're healthy, you can help other people. Same with finances. If you don't have enough, people got to help you. If you have more than enough, you get to be the one helping people. And I'd much rather be the one helping. I'd much rather be the one giving than be the one in need. The Lord has blown me away in showing me things here recently. We have some need with treating Pastor Sandy and all of that. And the giving has been amazing. We haven't really all that much really asked people or said, you know, hey, we were living in Texas. There was expense, extra expense involved in that. Money started just coming in for that need. Man, it's just abundant. You know, how do you get there? Grow your soul. Grow your soul. So I'm going to continue to talk about that a little bit here today. Growing your soul. I was thinking about this. Actually, the Lord woke me up around 4. That seems to be our regular appointment time, 4 a.m. It was this morning again. Sometimes I'll spend an hour awake praying, sometimes a few minutes, whatever it is. This is where I told you 3 weeks ago, I'm always asking, what do I need to learn today? What do I need to say today? What do I need to do today? And boy, I've been on a learning streak here where the Lord's talking to me on these things. But he led me concerning, I was saying, Lord, what do you want me to teach? How do you want me to teach? What do you want for Sunday? And he told me a couple things, and I'm going to go through them today. So it's still along these lines of your soul prospering. And then I thought of this a little bit. He brings these things to your mind. Dogs. Some of us have dogs in here, right? You have dogs at your house. And everybody has maybe a favorite breed or breeds that you like or don't like, you know. Some dogs are more intelligent than other dogs, right? Is that true? Yeah. We've noticed this in horses, too. Some horses are more intelligent than other horses. Some horses are really a box of rocks. They're just, oh. But then when you get into more and more expensive horses, and you start seeing horses that have ability and skill to do things, you get into more and more intelligence. Sometimes I remember the early years of Jessica interested in horses, starting to get horses. From horse people, we would hear things like, buy a horse for his mind, not his color. Oh, he's so pretty. Yeah, but he's as stupid as they come. And you'll have trouble with a horse like that or a dog like that. So something happens with intelligent animals, dogs and horses. You need to give them some challenge, something for their mind, or they get bad habits and go kind of crazy. Thinking right now of, say, a blue heeler, very energetic dog, brilliant in herding cattle, sheep especially. And that's one of those breeds that say is very intelligent. And if you don't give his mind something to do, if you don't give him a job, he starts causing trouble. Why? Because he's bored. The same is true of horses. Is that not right, Jess? They develop bad habits if you're not challenging their thinking. And some horses get it quick. They learn, and they go on to more and more levels. And she can tell you, and maybe some of the others that are experienced riding horses, some of the cues and the things that the horse can feel your body movements through the saddle and knows what you're thinking. I thought it's, you know, just steer right and left, but there's so much more to it. Very subtle things. And an intelligent horse puts that together pretty quickly. And if they're of that kind of intelligence and you're not training and giving their mind something to work on, they get bored and they start causing trouble. Right? Yep. They sure do. Albert Einstein. Anybody think that he had superior intelligence? Do you know as a child he was a behavioral problem? And they questioned his mental fitness? Albert Einstein. He needed to challenge his mind. He needed to give his mind something to do. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is the job description for the soul. Your soul has a job description. Are you putting it to work? If you don't put it to work, it comes up with bad habits. You have more than you know. Are you employing it? Now, if you like rhyme, I got an alternate title, The Role of the Soul. What role does it play? Last week, again, we just reviewed. I know I've said this many times, but you always learn hearing again and again. The spirit is different from the soul, and the body is different from the soul. You're a triune being, spirit, soul, body. And, of course, the soul that we're working on is also called in the scripture the mind. It's the will. It's the intellect, and it's the place of, it's the seat of emotion. Emotion is a gift of God, but emotion can be a terrible master. God experiences and expresses emotion. And I have had my times when I just feel so moved in emotion, separating from my wife, leaving her at the hospital and going home, that I experienced tears. And the Lord said to me, Jesus himself knew the outcome that Lazarus was about to be raised, but walked up to the grave and cried. Yes, he did. And why did he do that? He was a man. He felt all the emotion that we feel. So emotion's fine. Imagine a world where there was no happiness and laughter. See, that emotion's a gift. Yes, anger can be righteous and a gift. Get so tired of something, that's it. And now you're motivated to do something about a problem that shouldn't be, right? God himself says, I am a jealous God. There's a place for that. So emotion is fine, but do not be ruled by it. Do not be mastered by it. The soul is the mind, the will, the intellect, and the seat of emotion. All of those things are in the mind. So I want to go through some things, and I'm not going to take the time to go through scriptures to try to prove this. You just analyze it and see if it's so. I pose the question, what does the soul do? What does it do? What's its job? The soul's job is to gather information. I don't know if you noticed this, but most of us, most of the time, we're hungry for information. It can show up in our desire to watch a movie. Almost nobody, if you're not going to sleep, just sits there with a blank stare at a blank wall and just does nothing. The mind's hungry for information. And we're going to have to decide what information it gets. But if you don't decide what information the mind's going to get, it'll wander and it'll go all kind of places. So the mind is always gathering. I'm hungry to know more. What about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? Our minds have insatiable appetites for information. And doing the right thing with the mind, employing the mind, giving it a job, just like you give a dog who herds sheep, give him some sheep to herd. You need to give your mind the right information because it's hungry for information. And if you don't give it the right information, it'll find the wrong stuff. Yeah. So the soul gathers information. The soul sorts, it weighs, it considers, it ranks, and it judges available information. In other words, the soul is analyzing all the time. All the time. Somebody says something to you, you analyze. Well, what they mean by that? Is that really true? Are they just pulling my leg? Why'd they use that word? What was that eyebrow raise? Just somebody saying a sentence to you, you just went through 50, 60 things in your soul by somebody saying one sentence to you. Tone of voice? How loud were they? I may be wrong at 50, 60. You might go through 250. You might go through 1,000 things when somebody says one sentence to you. That's what the soul does. The soul analyzes. Let me go through that again. Sorts. The soul sorts, weighs. Got this compared to this. It weighs it out. It considers. Now, what do I really think about that? It ranks. Well, when they say it, it's more important than if so-and-so said. You start ranking information, the quality of it, you know. You judge it. I reject that, right? You judge information, and you judge, I said it this way, available information. Because where you happen to locate your body and set your ears down determines what information is available. You sat yourself down here in church this morning. What information is available to you? Well, you're hearing the Word of God preached. And by the way, you're judging the words I'm saying, you're ranking the words, you're considering the words, you're going through all of those things I said in your soul, you're going through that right now. Yes. And you're going to decide a little later on today what you really do with it and how valuable it was. The soul does that. The soul creates a world. I see these ads on TV now, like, what's the one where you forge of empires? That one, is a video game that they advertise quite a bit, you know, where you build this empire and you grow this kingdom and all that. It's just a video game. But your mind, your soul is doing that all the time. It's building a kingdom. It's building a world. It's creating an environment. It's putting together a picture of how you see the world. When Pastor Ricky was here and he was teaching a little bit on the soul, he kept talking about the image in you. That's what he's talking about. You have a worldview, or the way you see things, in you. And it's based on what you've decided, based on available information. Now, last week I said things like the parents we had, the culture we grew up in, and so on, create a world in us, right? And we come from different cultures. Now, there are different races of people, but the real difference is not the skin, it's the culture. Right. It's the things that, if the parents had a problem with this or that, you likely do too, because that's what you heard. That was the world. That was the image that was given to you. You view even things concerning race. You probably at least started viewing it the way parents did, and the culture the way it does. And culture to this day is not great in these areas. And there's some things to be rejected. Now, I was thinking on this and thinking back, I cannot recall my mom and my dad ever having anything negative or disparaging to say about another race of people. So I grew up in a home where black and white, so what? It don't matter, right? Mm-hmm. So that image created in me and my analysis, my judgments, and how I consider, my starting point was a good place from them. And if I would have had prejudices to overcome, that would be getting new available information, considering it, and judging it, and creating my own image, my own world. Would you agree that my soul was prospered to not have a wrong image put in it by my parents? And it gave me advancement in terms of, look, we're a mixed race church. Okay. It just doesn't matter to me what color skin. You know, somebody said something earlier, maybe today, or maybe it was yesterday, particular parts of Indiana and all those Dutch folks over there. Well, yeah, I guess I'm Dutch, and there's a reputation for Dutch folks, mostly that they're cheap and stingy, but I'm not. But anyway, so I'm just saying culture creates these stereotypes, right. Some good, some bad. Mm-hmm. But really, are all Dutch folks cheap and stingy? No, of course not. And so there are things, white Dutch culture, black culture, Hispanic culture, all of these create these images that later, if we'll go to the Word of God, our souls can prosper and we can come out of that. I happened to meet in traffic opposite side of the intersection driving to church today. Here's me, and there's an African-American, a black man. And he was so dark in skin color, I thought, wow, you couldn't be blacker than that, right? And I'm thinking about that, and I go, but you know, if you cut him, he bleeds red just like me. Oh, yeah. Amen. You know, he breathes the same air that I breathe.
Yeah.
You know, God created him just like he created me.
Amen.
What's skin got to do with it? What has skin got to do with it? Or male and female? Now, I'll grant you, male and female are quite different, but God created them just like me. Amen? What's that got to do with anything? So you see, some of these prejudices that people have, that is in their soul. It is the world that they've created. And they gather information that they want to. If you go to some sort of a, this is extreme, but you go to a Klan meeting, you're going to hear a perspective, and that information is going to become part of you.
Right.
Right? And you would have to analyze it all over again from the Word of God, perhaps, and change the picture. And that is prospering the soul. Now, let's take it away from race. Let's just go to rich and poor. Don't raise your hands, but anybody have a problem with them rich people? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. Are there people who have a problem with the rich people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. With the poor people, too. Yeah. So there's a lot of culture. We would maybe call it class. Lower class, middle class, upper class. There's a lot of image about where people are at concerning the money they have. You know, when somebody walks in a room, they get judged immediately by the clothing and make an assessment. How much money do they have? I give you a little story here. In the last year or so, Pastor Ricky here bought a full-length fur coat for his wife. She wanted one. She wanted a particular mink kind of coat. There are very few places that make them anymore in the United States because it's politically incorrect, all that kind of thing. But he and a man traveling with him, when he travels, he likes to be in a workout suit. Not the cotton sweats, but the more the shiny kind. So he'll be all red or something like that, you know, he's traveling. So this store is in Kansas City. Things are in a vault and all that, and you can imagine it's kind of upper level, all that kind of thing. So he walks in Kansas City in his running suit and says, I called earlier about a particular coat you said you had and so on, and he says, and I'd like to take a look at that coat. And the guy looks him up and down and says, well, how exactly were you intending to pay for it? Yeah. And Pastor Ricky said, if she didn't really want that coat, I'd have just walked out of there, you know. But anyway, he said, cash, is cash all right? And it's several thousand dollars, you know, a coat like that. Is cash all right? Oh, yeah, cash is fine. And goes and unlocks it. But I promise you, that's what the soul does, and we do it all the time. We're doing it all the time. The soul analyzes available information and makes a judgment. That's what the soul does. That's its job. Now, if you want a different judgment, you're going to have to get control or a hold of your thinking and start changing the available information, right? You're doing that. You're here today. However, I will grant you, people sit in these chairs and sometimes they are unchanged.
Yes. Amen.
Though the information provided a pathway to change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the soul sorts, weighs, considers, ranks, and judges available information. The soul creates a world, creates a map, creates an image. It makes sense of the world around it, or attempts to. Well, you know, that's just how it is. Anything the government does, and then somebody operates on what they've judged concerning the government. I have judgments of my own concerning the government. But our president right now is hated by many irrationally. It's way beyond considering the policies and the outcomes. It's just hated, right? So we create an order of things, and we deem what is real, what is not. You hear people say, well, that may be your truth, but that's not my truth. Mm-hmm. Truth is truth.
Yes.
If it's not the same truth for everybody, it's not truth. It's opinion.
Right.
Right? But I have a right to my truth just like you have a right to your truth. No, neither of us have any right to any truth. There is God's word, and that is truth, and that's the truth.
Amen.
And so sometimes just because I say it, that don't make it true. Anyway, the devil himself can quote the scriptures, and he does it. So we create a reality, or we create a truth. The soul empowers the will to make judgments. The stronger willed a person is, the stronger their judgments are contrary to truth. Well, that's just what I believe, and I ain't changing it. The soul empowers the will to judge contrary to the judgment of others. Now, that can be a good thing. I had medical staff telling me, my wife can't survive. She won't do all these things. In my soul and in my will, I looked for truth and found it in the Word of God.
Yes.
And my will helped me to stand contrary to their will.
Amen.
You might not think it, but let me tell you, it was a contest between me and some doctors. And I had to win for my wife.
Yes.
I had to. So the will is a servant if you guide it properly, right? A strong-willed child can be a great thing if you train them and help them. Sometimes the easiest to get along with, they don't stand for nothing anyway, so, you know, they're just push-arounds. Some of the strong-willed accomplish the greatest and the most horrible. Amen. The soul empowers the will to judge, sometimes contrary to the judgment of others. The feelings and emotions come connected to the truth that is created. In other words, if you see a spider walking across the floor and you let emotions, or you believe that thing is going to jump up and bite you in the face, you'll experience the emotion of fear. Yeah, yeah. So what image you've created, what you think of mice, what you think of bats flying at your face, your judgment there is going to create emotion. Things are going to start happening, you know? And you might even do something irrational.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
It's going right at my face. Right? The other night, Tammy opened our back porch door in the evening, let the dogs out, stepped just outside and like that. And she kind of freaked out and then looked, oh, it's a bird. She thought it was a bat. Sometimes at night, the bats will perch up under that porch roof of ours. So emotion was automatic as a result of her judgment of what she thinks of bats. Where I'm just kind of a little more, it ain't no big deal. Bat don't want to bite me, and he's going to turn and miss me. He's not interested in hitting me and hurting himself. So anyway, the emotions come forth from this image that you have on the inside, what you believe on the inside. Everything about a person moves in line with the truth that they have decided upon. That image, that created world inside you, what you believe about everything around you, all of your life moves according to that picture. Everything in your life moves according to what you have formed on the inside. And if you think, well, they just oppress people like us, we don't have no money and they see it, you just can't never get ahead, there's no opportunity. You form that image on the inside of you and you move according to it.
That's true.
And you never reach further because you have an image on the inside that won't permit it.
Yes.
And so when the scripture says, as your soul prospers, you're going to have to start putting down ideas that, well, people like me can't prosper. And say, people like me, God can prosper. Because
yes.
You'll never apply for a new position. You'll never educate yourself believing that you can get the grades. You'll never believe that you can aspire to more because of that image. So your soul has to prosper, and if it will, you can grow in prosperity. Your soul limits you. Your world map, your image you've put on the inside of who you are and what you are. And that should always be changing. Remember, it says in the scriptures, that a man can look in the mirror seeing himself in Christ and walk away from the mirror and forget what manner of man he is. So we need to always be looking in the mirror of the Word. That's who you are. If the Word says you're prosperous, what do you need to believe about yourself? I'm prosperous. There's just no limit to the blessing that can come my way. Amen. And if you'll grow in that, you'll start seeing. Amen. So what image are you creating? What picture? It's the job of the soul to make that picture. What's the role of the soul? Make the picture. What picture do you want? Do you know you can change the picture? I mentioned a little bit about this earlier this morning to Rick. He said, about what I was going to teach. He says, oh, is this one of them garbage in, garbage out messages? Well, yeah, pretty much. You put garbage in your soul, you're going to get garbage. You get poor mouth, poor talking, never going to happen talk in you. You create that image. That words are going to come out of you. And guess what? That reality will be upon your life. That's what you will have.
That's right.
And you won't prosper because you don't see yourself prospering and you say you won't prosper. And in fact, we're even having a hard time. I know someone years ago that in giving a testimony of how good God was taking care of them said these words. He said, seems like whatever we go through, just at the last minute, God comes through and there's just enough. He always comes through. And the Lord spoke immediately on the inside. Yeah, and as long as he says that, that's all he's going to have is just enough at the last minute. And it's many years since that's happened. And you know what he has to this day? Just enough at the last minute. And by the way, just recently told me that, see, we live by faith. And I thought, they can't even hear what I would have to say. That's not living by faith. Right. Faith is ever increasing. It's ever growing. Yeah. Faith is reaching beyond where you are. Now, all they were identifying was, well, we're in situations where we got to trust God. Well, yeah, to a level you do. How about trusting Him for coming out of that? How about trusting Him for an abundance so you can be a help? How about trusting Him for a greater abundance so you can be of a greater help? More and more and more. See, they have that picture on the inside of just enough at the last minute. And they will not exceed that until they change the picture. That's the job of the soul. Your soul's job is change the picture. Now, what picture do you want? Depending on the picture you want, that's where you source the information. And it's how you choose who you hang out with. You want to see a picture of abundance, you better start rubbing shoulders with some people who know how to get to abundance. And you better ask them, how do you get to abundance? What did you do? Were you ever really pressed? How did you grow? Tell me about key points in your life where you really learned. That's how you do that. The soul is the processing center. You process all the information coming in your life in your soul. And you make a product. Your life is your product. Now, this may sound hard, but I'm your pastor. I love you, and I'm helping you. Your life is the product. You've made it. Oh, no, no, no. I was born in these circumstances, and I suffered this, and I suffered that. Well, there's always somebody who suffered a lot more and born in worse circumstances than you. Amen. And they've overcome, and they come and have excelled beyond. Some of the greatest success stories are people who've come from the worst of circumstances. Yeah, but you don't understand. This happened to me, and I've not been able to get past it. Yes, you can get past it. What you're saying is Jesus took care of everything except that. That is just too much for Jesus. He didn't handle this. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the worst possible kind of things that could happen to people. The worst kinds of abuses and uses and harm. I'm thinking of child abuse, sexual abuse, those kinds of things that could have happened back there. And they can be crippling or they can be overcome. Who are you today? Are you that child abused, or are you an overcoming conqueror in Christ who, though you'll always remember it, it no longer throws you into a dysfunction. Amen. Where you can't move. Amen. I don't mean to sound harsh, but you won't overcome that until you decide to change how you view it and how you judge it. A prospered soul produces a better product. A prospered soul is more accurate in analyzing information for its authorship and whether or not it's genuine truth. The enemy is always bombarding you with information. And part of being a prosperous soul is identifying, where did that come from? Now, we're talking about the mind and the intellect. We're talking about thoughts. You have a thought. Analyze, where did that thought come from? When I was in the worst of times struggling for my wife, for her healing, for her being spared of death, I can't tell you how many times the devil showed me funeral. And he even got me to, you know, well, what would you want in a funeral? Who would you want to do the funeral? And all that kind of thing. Do I want to have a casket? All of that comes. Who is the author of that? And I recognize who the author is, and I reject it. And if you don't have the strength of soul to do that, you're going to fall to it. And I caught myself on the verge of, well, if there was a funeral, I would want, hang on, hold, sound the alarm. No, no funeral. No, we're not entertaining a funeral. There won't be a funeral. That's a function of my soul to do that. My soul is my defender. And if my soul couldn't have rose up to that attack, guess what? We would have had a funeral. And she'd be in heaven enjoying the presence of Jesus. And God would grace me and I'd get through. With God's grace and help, my soul defended me, and I was prospered enough in soul to know how to do it and was capable. You want to prosper your soul so you can meet whatever comes. So right now I'm talking about judging authorship. Who said that? Who said that? And recognize when you have a thought, where'd that thought come from? Is that from a fear? Is that from an emotion? Is that from the enemy? Is that from mama? Is that from God and his word? Early on, again, in this whole process with Pastor Sandy, I realized that there are times when, especially if someone is older and so on, God, what's best for Sandy here? What do you say about this? I sought the Lord. Is she supposed to survive? I answered that almost right away, but then I said, Lord, I can't go contrary to what you're doing here. There was a time with Brother Hagin where something happened with his wife where the Lord told him it would be better if she comes home now, but told him, but if you insist, she'll stay. And he insisted and she stayed. And I don't remember what the thing was about that. So I sought the Lord knowing that there are times when, especially if someone is really elderly, when the best thing for them might be gloriously go home, give a great testimony, kiss your grandkids goodbye, and fly. Right? So I said, Lord, what about this? What about this? I sought him. And he said to me, what did I already say? And I told him, I said, well, you said with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You said, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. You said with abundant life. You came to give abundant life. And two or three other, I wish above all things that you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I said, that's what you said. And he told me, well, I ain't changing it, are you? I'm not changing what I said. Are you changing what I said? I had something in my soul to keep me defended. Amen. So I had made judgments. We hardly turned to a scripture yet, but is it good? Is it helping? The role of the soul. The soul is the entry point for all enemies. If you have an enemy, how's the enemy going to get to you? They're going to get to you through your soul. What do you mean? Somebody could beat me up physically and they're getting to me, beating me up physically. Taking a whooping physically is one thing, but taking it mentally is quite another. And when someone's beating you physically, they are after your soul and your thinking. Right? The soul is the entry point for all enemies. The entry comes through, now watch this, how does the fight come to you? How does an enemy come to you? Through your eyes and ears, things you see and things you hear. How did the enemy come against me? Among other things, in that emergency room when the doctor showed me a CT scan and told me what I'm looking at. I saw it and I heard it. And the enemy found his way in to my soul to find out what you're going to do about it. And it reminded me of that song we'd sing in Sunday school. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Second verse, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Anybody know that song? You hear that? If you're too young, you didn't have Sunday school and hear those songs like that. Why? The attack will come through the eyes and ears. You look at your checkbook, you get the mail, and you open the bills. Right there through your eye, here come the attack. Yeah. Oh, Lord Jesus, how are we going to pay this bill? Just came through your eyes. And the soul is the entry point because you're immediately confronted. What do you think about this? What do you judge about this? How does this create the world? You've been thinking, oh, we have plenty of money. We're able to pay all the bills. And a new one comes, and suddenly you're challenged on, do you have enough money to pay all the bills? Looks like you don't. And you have to decide, I do, or, well, I guess it does look like I don't. It all comes through the soul. The soul is the entry point for all enemies. The soul is the entry point for all friends. How are you going to get help? The same way. Through your eyes, through your ears. What are people saying to you? Here's a suggestion. Know clearly who are your friends and who are your enemies. And let me take it a step further. Some of your friends are your enemies. Why? Because to hear them talk, they are not helping you. I did say it. Listen to them talk. They are not helping you. One of the things said again and again and again to us concerning a brain injury is it takes time. There was one nurse in the intensive care unit pretty early on, after hearing some of the medical reports and so on, says to me, "You're Christians, right?" I said, "Yeah, we're Christians." And she asks me, "Well, what sort or what kind?" I should have known trouble is coming. I should have said the Bible-believing kind. Is there any other? You know. But she then announces to me what kind of Christian she is. You know, mentions a particular denomination. And after being encouraged, you know, time will help, all that kind of stuff that they say. She says, and she sweeps across her body, staying at her bedside, her nurse, and says, "Time doesn't help this." That lady is an enemy. And to this day, I can hear her and see her face saying it. I can hear that. I can hear those words. Time doesn't help this. Time doesn't help this. And we're over 9 weeks, and I hear her words, "Time doesn't help this." That's right. I have to judge that. Reject it. Say, "Those are words that are dead. There's no life." I rebuke him. And here's part of where I said to you the other week, the greatest danger to your life is an unbelieving Christian. A person to avoid, an unbelieving Christian. And there are times when friends and family need to be avoided. They're not helping you. They are not helping you. Through the soul, the enemy finds entrance. Through the soul, a friend finds interest. I'm helping you. I am your friend. Find other people that when you say, "Well, I'm facing this thing," and that they will immediately pick up and start telling you the word. Oh, you are more than capable. Yes, that's right. You are more than a conqueror. He always leads you into triumph. You got this. Like Pastor Webb said to me, "You the bully." Yeah. Not just go beating up the devil. Come on. You the bully, not him. You the bully. Amen. That's your friends. Take in that information. The soul is your warrior. The soul is your defender. How good are you doing? The soul can be your liability. It can fall apart on you, and it can take you down. But the soul is supposed to be, what's the role of the soul? The soul is your defender. You have to know how to make a defense. The soul is what you dress for battle. The soul is what you train for war. The soul is what you shield from attack. You have to put up defenses and keep your soul in the right territory. The soul is what you give weapons to. The soul is what you refresh and feed. That's why you came to church today, to give weapons to your soul. Amen. To take care of your soul, to refresh your soul, to feed your soul. Weren't you refreshed when we were shouting the victory earlier today? Isn't that just like a cool drink of water, just refreshing? The soul is territory you don't let the enemy into. When he comes with his words, you're going to talk like that, you can't be around here. And now I'm thinking not just the devil, I'm talking about people. Yeah. I started avoiding certain doctors, and they knew it. And it got so bad at a point where they sent in the hit squad to talk to my daughter and I, the chaplain and a caseworker who's a Christian. I think the chaplain's a Christian. To talk some sense into me. And I said to them, I said, "You know, I can read between the lines. I know what they're saying." "Well, what exactly are they saying?" And, you know, they oppressed me. They wanted me to not read between the lines. What literally did they say? And finally I said, "You know what? I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so is saying." And I said, "That may sound wrong to you, but I don't care." They kind of gave up on me. The chaplain especially was just really puzzled. "Show me again that scripture that you said God said to you," and showed her Jeremiah, you know, 30 verse 16 and 17. It happened to be female chaplain, but studied that, perplexed and puzzled, and finally left the room. She just never did say what she thought of us and that scripture. But I'll repeat it. The most dangerous person to you, to your soul, is an unbelieving, wrong-talking Christian. You think they're a Christian. You think you can trust them. Mm-hmm. Let me go further. Most dangerous person to you is an unbelieving preacher. Yes. Amen. 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 Because here's a person that's supposed to know and be in authority and supposed to be breaking the bread of life and feeding you a good meal, and they're feeding poison. Yes. But your soul is a place you don't let the enemy in. See him and shut it down. See somebody's words, and you don't have to pick a fight with them, but shut those words down.
That's right.
The soul can be your protector, or the soul can be your traitor. You don't grow your soul, it'll give you up, and it'll harm you. How you respond to fear, bad reports, evil reports. And let me tell you, a doctor can give you an evil report. I learned something good. What God says is the first report.
Amen.
What the doctor says is a second opinion.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah, he's practicing. God knows the truth.
Amen.
And I've learned when God has already given me his report, the medical report is just really just, well, what you see may be what it is now, but it's not staying that way.
Amen.
The doctor can tell you the present situation. What he cannot tell you is the future. He's not authorized to prophesy into my life. They were basically telling me that my wife was first going to die, if not that, going to be severely handicapped. And I got to thinking, who authorized them to say what my future is? Who gave them the authority to say? It is not theirs to say. It's up to me to say. First, it's up to her. And I know what she said because she texted it while she was still alert and this aneurysm had happened. But if she's not able to speak, I am second. And furthermore, she probably needs my agreement before she can go. And I thought, no doctor is authorized to speak for me unless I'll let him. No doctor's report is my future. I have God's report.
Yeah.
And if he says, I will restore health to you, that's the report.
Amen.
And then a doctor says, the health can't be restored to her. Okay, that's a second opinion. My soul chooses.
Yes. Yes.
Choose.
Amen.
Choose. And I'll grant you, he's got his scan and he sees certain things. And it's usually gone a certain way. Okay, fine. I'm not picking a fight with you. But you are not authorized to say what happens with her. I am.
That's right.
And I say full recovery.
Yes.
And I say fully restored.
Yes.
If you'll do this with people around you, some of them won't like you.
Yes.
They'll leave you alone.
Doubt and unbelief hates faith. Faith hates doubt and unbelief. You got to get, maybe not in somebody's face, although that may come up sometimes. Yeah, doc, what you say, I don't care. Faith hates doubt and unbelief, and you may have to get just nasty about it. You the bully. I'm the bully. I'm the bully, and I'm going to say what happens here.
Yes.
I pity the fool.
Pity the fool. Yeah. Remember this, because we are talking about health. And I'm prospering your soul.
Yes.
A prosperous soul knows where to rank and judge a doctor's report. And I'll tell you where it is. Give me 1 John 5:8. I'll tell you how you rank a doctor's report. I'm going to have to break off the message right there. And I got some great stuff coming up. Now, all of us live in a physical body. All of us are aging. All of us have opportunity to be sick. Just because you're presently healthy doesn't mean you're walking a great faith walk. It means you may not have been challenged just yet. Right? Especially when we're young. We can be arrogant about that. Look at me, I'm walking in divine health. Well, we'll find out. Amen. Let me tell you about doctor's reports. Now, they have done tremendous things and have learned incredible amounts of things. And literally, doctors saved Pastor Sandy's life through the brain procedures that they did, the coiling, the treatment for vasospasms where they in through a vein in the leg, take a catheter all the way up into her brain, release medicine at a certain place, saved her life several times. The skull, removing part of her skull to allow room for the brain to swell and not kill her outright right then and there. And then when that reduces, put the skull back, sew it back up. So medical, they have done tremendous things. It is amazing. I know way more than I want to know about some of this stuff. And it's just incredible. And they know their stuff. They know statistically what happens. But they don't know the future. So, all respect. And we have those in here that are trained as nurses and so on. God bless you. You are wonderful people. You are just wonderful people. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I come to realize this about a doctor's report. And many times, believers, let me talk plain. You'll say, pray for me. I'm going to the doctor. And I'm believing for a good report. Well, you already have one. Have you been to the Word? Do you have God's report? Your first report better be God's Word, because the second report might not be good. Because I've seen this happen way too many times. Agree with me, Pastor. Pray with me. We're believing for a good report. And then it's not a good report. Now what? The soul is devastated because of a bad report. And you have to figure out how to pick up the pieces and try to put yourself back together to believe again. Because I was believing in faith for a good report and it didn't happen. So apparently my faith is not working. Who says it's not working? Maybe it was misplaced in a good report. No, faith will say, I don't care what the report from the doctor, I have his report. Didn't Isaiah challenge us? Whose report have you believed? You better do what God says do. And the doctor, seek the Lord. Do I take this treatment? Do I not? They ask me a zillion times, you okay with blood transfusions? You okay with blood products? All that kind of thing. There must be a religious objection to that somewhere in somebody. And so, yeah, I got no problem with that. Do everything that'll help her. Fine. They would come and give a report. I always kept in mind what God said. 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, what does that mean? That means financial experts tell you something. Doctors tell you something. These people who should know better than you know tell you something. And you're willing to believe them. Why? Well, they're the financial expert. Well, they're the doctor. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. So when somebody tells you, you can't this or that, well, what does God say about it? If the doctor tells you, you have this, you need to do this and that, you'll never, you know, whatever. Well, what did God say about it? Whatever the doctor says, what God says is greater.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Whatever the doctor says, what God says is greater. Amen. So you need to equip your soul with this one.
Amen.
Whatever the doctor says, what God says is greater.
Yes.
And when you got that in you, and it comes out of you readily, and you're able to go there. Well, the doc says this. The doc says, I got to do this and that and so on. Well, what did God say?
Amen.
God says, no. By his stripes, you're healed. God's witness is greater. I'll grant you it can be. While you're feeling pain and going through some things, it can be difficult to argue with that doctor on that. I'll grant you that. I understand that. You're in the middle of it. And there are things like, you know, Pastor Sandy had brain surgeries. Well, if he was God and he heals, why didn't he just heal her, not need no brain surgeries? Well, I understood the Lord would bring us through all of these things, and this is a help. This is help. We didn't refuse treatment on any of that kind of thing. I refused signing the papers on organ donation. But other than that, I didn't refuse any treatment. Will it help her? Yeah, it'll help her. It does this and this and this. Yeah, go ahead, do that. Do that. It'll help her. Witness of God is greater than the witness of man. So if a parent said a thing to you way back there, if a husband or a wife said a thing, an ex said a thing, a teacher said a thing, a banker said a thing, a doctor said a thing, co-worker said a thing, whatever they say, what God says is greater.
That's right.
Well, they told me I'd never, and you fill in the blank. And you haven't. You know why? You believed them.
Yes. Yeah.
That is your image. That's what your soul has built. That's your world. That's your map. That's how it is. How are you going to get past that? New picture. How do you make a new picture? New information. Go to the Word. I need some new information here. God, what do you say? And you keep new information. And it may take time. Keep that Word coming. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. When he says you're the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. When he says you'll lend to many and not borrow.
Amen.
That's the new information. Do you believe it? Do you? I'll tell you when you know you believe it. When you've been tested in it hard and you came out victorious. Then you believe it. Because a lot of people say they believe a lot of things and they just haven't been tested yet. It's easy to say. It's easy to say. It's another thing to come out on the other side still standing.
And then you stand.
And then you stand and you stand and you stand. And I'll grant you this too. When you've been through a thing, that thing will never be big to you again. I sort of feel like I met the devil eye to eye and he tried to take my wife's life. I don't fear him. I don't fear him and all his little puny imps and all that kind of thing. I'd a bully. I have learned how to whoop him and put him on the run. So we're talking about your soul. Your job, equip your soul, train your soul, give it new information, build a new picture. How do you see yourself? Who are you? That determines how you'll be in health and prosper and have the abundant life. If someone has more of that abundant life than you, they have prospered their soul more than you. That's not to shame you. That's just say, let's go. Come on. I don't care who you are in this room, what your financial situation is or the health in your body. I don't care who you are or what you've been through. You can grow.
Amen.
You can come up. And if some of us in here were barely paying the bills, not making ends meet, I challenge you, come out of that. Well, when somebody gives me some money, no, that's not how it works. Grow your soul.
Amen.
I grew my soul to where money finds me. It chases me down. It jumps in my pocket.
Amen.
But I had to grow my soul to get to that point. Believe God, just to have $100 in my pocket. Ooh, I'd be a rich man, $100 in my pocket all the time, right? I'd never feel broke if I had a $100 bill in my pocket. Years ago, went that direction. I grew to that always, always. And it ends up, the money in my pocket, it ends up, I give it. It seems like that's the whole reason that it's there is I give,
amen.
Give. So things like that. But I got that in my soul.
Yes.
I see myself. So I don't care who you are. You can grow. You can grow. And you can come to a new level. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, the best stuff is next week. Oh, I'm going to show you some cool stuff next week. You do not want to miss next week because I'm going to demystify the devil for you. He's a great big old thing, right? No, he's not. But he sure appears like it. And I'm going to show you how all that works. Amen. Praise the Lord.